Thank you, Lloyd, and it's good to have every one of you here tonight. Now, in our bulletin is one very important announcement for next week and next Sunday. I don't see it kind of as a two-service Sunday or a three-service Sunday. I just see it as one great big celebration. And I just have to commend this congregation for the week before Thanksgiving every year, just thinking way outside of themselves. Thinking about the cause of missions all over the earth. And so you can see in your bulletin, there is that handout there for our SPA Thanksgiving service. And thank you so much for helping. There's instructions there about what to bring. And I know that many of you are familiar with that. If some of you would like to help in the actual serving, please phone the office and talk to Dan. We're compiling a list of folks that are helping. And just want to ask you to pray that God would put on the hearts of all of the people in our congregation just how much of a privilege, how much of an honor it is for us to sacrifice. And we're praying for a great offering to be raised in the morning for World Missions. We're going to have our International Director of Missions, Murray Cornelius, here. And then in the evening, there is no evening. As we continue the day, we're going to have our lunch, and then at 1:30, we're going to meet together, and I'll be speaking on home missions, and also we are going to have our pastoral melody that we're working on and looking forward to, always look forward to doing that with our pastoral team. And so thank you so much for taking note of that. We're going to wait on you tonight for the Lord's tithe and your offerings. I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving to the work of the kingdom, and I don't know what else to say, except if you had a prayer request or a praise report, you can place that into the offering plate. All of the good things that are going on in the month of October are in the bulletin today in the SPA Connection, and so thanks for taking note of those. Let's pray before we worship tonight in giving. Father, you have blessed us most abundantly. And now, Lord, we just sow into your kingdom. I thank you for the faithfulness of your people. We bring back your tithe and these offerings in the name of Jesus. And thank you for the work of God that goes forward. Prosper your people, I pray, abundantly in the name of Jesus. And the church said together, amen. Thank you so much for your giving tonight.
Just while they're taking the offering or receiving the offering, I guess that's how you say that. Just wanted to thank every one of you for coming. You could be doing anything else tonight and you decided to come back. How many of you normally wouldn't come on a Sunday night? Just be honest. I wouldn't normally come on a Sunday night. All right. There's a couple. I just wanted to welcome each one of you. I wanted you to just, I got a really special guest tonight. Do you mind if I introduce him for a second? My nephew is here. His name is David. Just wave at everybody, David. Give him a hand for coming, guys. David is my little nephew, just my little nephew. He's almost bigger than me now, and he weighs more than I do, and I think he could take me down in like 2 seconds. But I can still remember him when he was born, and kind of cool. So that's my sister's son. So really glad he's here tonight. So on your way out tonight, if you like what we talked about tonight, the message is on the table. There's a CD out there on forgiveness. The book that I talked about this morning called Journey to Freedom, it's out there on the table. You can get it as a regular book to read. Or how many people don't read too much anymore? Yeah, you can get it as an audio book as well, so feel free. Everything on the table is $15, 3 for $35. We got some great worship CDs out there. The one called Overwhelmed, I would say, is the very best worship CD on the table. The one that we do, the purple one, that's a great one that has our family music. If you like some of our music, you can have that. My wife walked with me through my addiction. Remember what I talked about this morning? So if some of you ladies or some of you people are like, what's it like to live with someone who's an addict, or how do you help them or whatever? She's got a great talk about that. That's the green, or is that green? That teal? I don't know. I'll let you ladies figure it out. It's green to me, all right? And then how many of you have devotions, like you spend time with the Lord, you pray, and you read the Word? If you want to get 2 CDs that have just 45 minutes worth of piano music on there, that's just kind of quiet, that you can listen to while you're trying to spend time with God, the blue and white CDs, they're great music. again, what I talked about this morning is on the table. Tonight, what I'm talking about, forgiveness. And then if you're someone who's kind of wondering, is God really real? You know, maybe you're just a seeker tonight. Or you know some of your kids, your grandkids, or people that you know, they're just kind of like, they're out there, but they're not sure if they really believe. My daughter, Deanna, she's written a bunch of songs that are like right along in that vein of thinking. And so that's the one that's called, if I can read it, Asleep Awake. That's a great CD. All right, and then on our table, how many of you people pray? Good, 17 of you. That's awesome. If you would pray for us. Oh, 18, I saw your hand. Okay. Hey, you came back. Way to go. I'm glad you came. Hey, grab a magnet off the table, put it on your fridge, and pray for us. How many of you will do that? Oh, that's great. If I can get a bunch of people praying for me, God takes care of all the details. If you want to be on our newsletter, email, mailing list, just go to our website. It's on the card as well. Just go to newsletters. And if you want to help us in any other way, just come by the table and let us know, and we will talk with you there. All right, tonight I want to talk to you about letting it go. How many of you ever watched the movie Frozen? You got grandkids or kids, and you're like, oh, I've seen that movie too many times, right? Let it go. So, years ago, there was a cruise ship that got off course. It ended up in some islands that were supposedly uninhabited. But as they're going through this area, they see this guy on one of the islands, and he's waving frantically, jumping up and down. So they stop the cruise ship. They let out a lifeboat. They go over to the island, and they say, what's going on? The guy goes, I've been stranded here for 10 years, and I'm just so glad you came by. He said, they're like, what happened? It was like, kind of like Robinson Crusoe. Have you guys ever heard of that story? It was just like he just survived. And so he, you know, the sailors were like, well, just show us around. At least show us how you did it, you know, and then they were going to take him with them. So he took him around the island and everything like that, and then they were getting ready to get back on the cruise ship, and they noticed there were like three little shelters built, and they said to him, what are these? And he goes, oh, well, this is my house, and this is my church. And they said, oh, that's great. What's this one? Oh, he said, well, that's the church I used to go to. How is that possible? There's only one person in the church. How can you not get along with them, right? Why do people leave churches? Why do people leave relationships? Why do people leave communities? Is it because there's so much love and kindness they just couldn't stand it anymore? Is that what usually happens? It could be fear. I think many times it's because somebody gets, what's the word, hurt, right? Somebody hurt somebody. And I mean, I think if you're breathing, you've been hurt, right? I want to talk to you about three things about forgiveness tonight. The principle of forgiveness, the process of forgiveness, and the product of forgiveness. Pastor Doug, I think you could probably preach at least a month on each one of these, but I'm just going to give you guys the Cole's notes, then Pastor Doug will probably come up with a series, because he's, I'm sure, a serious guy, and you guys can join in the series and work together. But forgiveness, what a topic. The principle of forgiveness, the process of forgiveness, the product. If you aren't going to take notes, they just write down a couple notes. So what is the principle of forgiveness, or the command of forgiveness? I want you to look up on the screen with me tonight, or if you have a New Living Translation Bible, you can read along with us. Otherwise, you're going to have a little harder time. But Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Are you ready? Matthew 18, 21 to 35. The words are going to be up on the screen, but if you want to follow in your Bible. Then Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, came to him, Jesus, And he asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered he to be sold, along with his wife, his children, everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. But when that man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, and he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But he wouldn't wait, and had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, and they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he'd forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he'd paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Now, if you can go back to verse 34, all right? In the King James, does anyone have a King James Bible here tonight? Okay. In the King James, it says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. Okay. I want you just to think about that verse for a second. The angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. I want to ask you a question. In this story, who is the big king? Who's the big king, the high king, the one that was owed millions and millions of dollars? Who is that? God. Are you with me? Just nod your head if you're with me. Okay, so God is the big king. Who is the man who owed millions of dollars? Me. Just point at yourself. Say, that was me. I owe big time. All right. Who is the second one who owed a little bit of money? Your wife? Your kids? Someone who hurt you? Right? So there's God. I owed him what I couldn't pay. Then there's the person that owes me. So, how many of you in this room have a mortgage? Okay. Generally, a mortgage is not a fun thing. Like, I don't really jump up and down when I think about my mortgage. It's like, I'd rather not have it. Generally, it's a pretty substantial amount. I mean, especially when you start out, it's like, are you ever going to pay that thing off, right? Now, can you imagine that I'm going to pick on Pastor Doug. You know, you just bought your house, and you owe, I don't know, how much do houses cost around here? $400,000, $300,000? I have no idea. Just ballpark, $400,000. So you got a mortgage, let's say, of $300,000, right? And you've agreed to pay that off in 25 years or whatever it is. But all of a sudden, I'm the banker. I come in, and I say, you know what? We've decided we want all the money right now. What are you going to do? No, it's just not going to work out. Well, then we're going to take your wife and your kids, and we're going to throw you all in jail, and you're just going to stay there till it's paid. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but in those days, they would put you in debtor's prison, I guess, and you would kind of work as a slave for someone to pay off your debt. In our culture, that doesn't necessarily work that way. But so here, the banker comes, the guy you owe way too much to, and he says, you've got to pay up right now, or you're basically dead. And so Doug falls down on his knees and begs for mercy. And I, the benevolent banker, say, you know what? Forget it. Forget it. Now, just think about that. Who all had a mortgage? Can you imagine if your banker just said, forget it? What, would you maybe do like a bit of a dance? I think I would. I mean, I'm not even very good at dancing, but I still would be willing to dance because that's a pretty happy day, right? And then this guy here, Carson, he owes Doug $20. $25. Doug comes home from the bank. He's just called Wanda. I'm so happy, so happy, so happy. We got no more mortgage. Then he remembers, Carson, right, owes me $25. He calls him up. Carson, pay up today. Can't do it. Can't do it. Haven't been paid. I get paid so poorly at that church, I just don't have any money. I'm just making some of this stuff up, people, because I don't know how it goes. And Doug goes, he grabs him by the neck, and he starts choking him. He says, pay me now, pay me now, pay me now, and gets him thrown in jail. Now, how would you people feel about Pastor Doug? What would you think? That is ridiculous. You just got forgiven $300,000, and you won't forgive this guy $25. Isn't that ridiculous? That's how this story goes. All right, you can relate. Now, I always thought of God as a really, really good father. We sing the song, right? He's a good, good father. How many people believe God is good? And yet it says, the angry king. Why is God angry? Why would we be angry at Pastor Doug? Why would we be angry at him? Because he was given grace and mercy and forgiveness, and he was forgiven 300 grand and won't forgive Carson for $25. Wouldn't you be a little bit angry about that? I mean, even Wanda would be a little bit upset with Doug for that, right? He should be like, come on, like, get real, right? So God, when we read about God being angry, it's not because God just has a little temper tantrum. When God gets angry, he's usually got a good reason. Not like our earthly fathers, who I am one of them, sometimes didn't treat our kids properly because we haven't got all our ducks in a row yet, right? God, when he gets angry, he's got good reason to be angry. And he says, and the angry king sent the man to prison to be, what's that word?
Tortured.
I didn't think God was into that. Now, how many of you have ever been tortured? Just put your hands up. Anyone ever been tortured? If you have children, you've been tortured. I know, I'm just messing with you. But I mean, you guys live in Edmonton, right? You get snow in the winter. It's like 100 degrees below zero. The kids want to go outside and play. So you take 20 minutes to wrap them all up, put them in a snowsuit, get them all ready to go outside. And what happens as soon as you've got them done? I got to go to the... What is that? Right? It's torture. It drives you crazy. It's like, oh my goodness, right? Okay, now that's just funny. But the reality is, I'm talking about torture. Now, I don't know if you guys watch the news, but in America, they would waterboard some of the people that were in Guantanamo. I think that's the way to say it. So these were some of these Islamic people who they were terrorists, and they were trying to get information from them to find out where the next terrorist attack was going to be. So what is torture designed to do? To get you convinced to do something differently than what you're doing, right? So if you're not giving information, they torture you till you get the information. Now, it's not called torture. It's called something else, but it's kind of difficult to deal with, okay? Now, why would God torture Doug or you or me? Why would he do that? Because what we're doing is not what he wants us to do. Now, does he torture us because he's mean or because he's kind? Now, those are questions that, you know, when you start to think about this, like pain. Is pain your friend or your enemy? How many people say pain is my enemy? I don't ever want to have pain. Just put up your hands. How many people say that? Okay, how many people say pain is my friend? Just put your hands up. Okay, let me go over and give you a real good kick in the shins and see how you... Actually, you're right. Pain is your friend because have you ever put your hand on the hot stove by mistake? Yeah, you know, just for a second. That pain, the receptors in your fingers, send information to your brain very, very quickly and say, don't do that, right? Because if you don't have pain receptors, your hand will be barbecued, right? Does that make sense? So, see, people who have leprosy, the nerves that transmit information, they die off. And so they can sit there and have their hand right in the fire and they don't feel it. And then they'll smell something and then they'll look and their hand's like burnt, right? So pain is our friend. So when God brings pain to your life emotionally, and I'm talking about emotionally, God is not being mean to you. He's being kind to you because he's trying to get you to stop doing what you're doing, which is actually harming you. So when it says God sent this man to prison to be tortured, it wasn't necessarily a literal prison, but it's a prison that causes him discomfort and anguish so that he'll change his behavior. Does that make sense? So tonight, if you're in a place and you're experiencing anguish or pain emotionally, I'm not saying it's a fun thing. I'm saying it may be that God is trying to get your attention to change your behavior. Let's go to the next slide, Matthew chapter 6, verses 12. How many of you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, right? Let's just say this one part together. Matthew 6, verse 12. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, can I ask you a question? When you ask God to forgive your sins, how many of your sins do you want him to forgive? All of them. And how would you like God to forgive your sins? Just kind of like, I'll let it slide, Carson? Or would you like them to go, you know what? You are just completely forgiven. Oh, you just want it like completely forgiven? Every single one. Okay. See, if I could edit the Bible, I would use the first part of that verse, and I would get rid of the underlined part of it. Because when I am called on to forgive other people, I'm called on to forgive all of their sins completely. I don't really feel like giving you complete forgiveness. I might let it slide, Carson, but I mean, don't you ever let that happen again. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever forgiven someone like that? Like, yeah, we'll let this one slide, but buddy, next time, right? How many of you have been like that? Oh, no, you're so holy, you never do anything like that. Oh, I just forgive people, so I'm so good. You're so full of baloney. See, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. Now, let's go to the next scripture. Next slide. There's a principle in scripture that says we're not supposed to hold on to offenses. Next, no, go back to that one. Yeah. You see, God's plan is for us to be free from offenses. All right? That's the principle. How many of you can see the guy on the left has not really learned how to let go of almost anything in his life? How many of you can relate to that in your life, walking down the road like that a little bit, carrying a little bit too much baggage? God wants us to get rid of the stuff. Now, you know, one pastor was trying to teach his church about forgiveness, and he said, how many of you know the scripture, love your enemies? And everybody put their hand up. And he said, is there anyone in this room who has no enemies? And some little old lady, 95 years old, the back of the church, she put up her hand. Pastor goes, "You have no enemies?" She goes, "No, no enemies." Pastor says, "How is it possible you could live your whole life and have no enemies?" She goes, "All of them good for nothing wretches are dead." See, her enemies were not living on this earth, but they were still alive inside her. And you still have to forgive those people. Now, I want to talk about the process. I think we get the fact that we need to forgive, right? I think it's in the Bible. Do we all agree so far that God says we need to do that? Just nod your heads. You could even say amen if you want. All right, so we got that point. Okay, so what's the process of forgiveness? Well, Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there's no counsel, the people fail, but in the multitude of counselors there's wisdom." I remember years ago, I was in my house. I was just sitting there at my desk, and I can remember I was just minding my own business, and I had got a phone call from this man that knew me, and he was pretty angry with me. And I can remember I'm just on the phone, just listening. And what happened was my son, he'd called me and he said, "Hey, Dad, I want to do an outreach in our neighborhood. I want to pass out some invitations and have everybody over to my house, and then we'll have a video game party, and then we'll have a Bible study." And I said, "Okay, well, let's do that." So I can remember I was on the phone and with this pastor a couple days later, and he was telling me that he was upset with me, and I began to think about what happened with my son, because my son said, "Let's have him over to our house." And I said, "How are we going to get him to our house?" And he said, "Well, let's make an invitation." And I said, "Okay, what do you want the invitation to say?" And he said, "Well, I want the invitation to say that, are you bored? Come over to our house and we'll have a video game party and a Bible study." And I thought, okay, that'll work. And so we handed them out in our neighborhood. And then I remember some of his friends asked if they could hand them out in their neighborhoods. And I thought that'd be okay. So they did that. And then we had the event on the Saturday, and it worked out okay. And then on Monday, I got this phone call, and this leader of another church, he was really upset with me, and he said to me, "Lloyd, you have no integrity, you have no character, you're just a really, really, really terrible person." And as I talked to him on the phone, I remember I'm on the phone and I'm trying to tell him that I don't really understand what's going on, and then he said to me, "You know, on Saturday morning when you had that Bible study and that video game party at your church, you know, we had something going on in our church." I said, "Well, you know, that's great." But he said, "No, but there were some people who handed out invitations in our church for your event." And I thought, oh, well, who cares? But then I thought about, what did the invitation say? "Are you bored? Come over to our house and have a video game party." But see, I didn't intend for those invitations to go into their churches. That wasn't my intention, right? But somehow they did that. And then he thought that I had told them to do that. So he misunderstood what had happened. And he began to tell me that I was a terrible person. And he began to, you know, like, really, really ream me out. Have you ever been really reamed out? How many people have ever been reamed out? And by the time he finished his conversation, like, he was just kept on going and going. And I have been a Christian for quite a while, and I have forgotten lots and lots and lots of bad words. But as I was on the phone with him for quite a while, these words began to come back up into, you know, they started crawling up the back of my, and they were coming very close to coming out of my mouth. And I said, "You know what, I'm going to have to hang up the phone, because if I keep on talking to you, I think I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say, so I'll talk to you later. And I hung up the phone, and I knew I had to forgive this guy because he hurt me. But immediately I said, I forgive him. I forgive him. I'm okay. But I began to notice that I didn't have the same kind of freedom in my life that I used to have. Something was holding me back. And I noticed that my joy was kind of gone. And it was like harder for me to walk through life. It was like, I don't have any joy anymore, Kathy, and I don't know what to do. And she said, well, just forgive him. And I was like, okay. But I had this heaviness around me, and I was mad at him, man. But I said out loud, I forgive him. And I tried. And I walked through life, but I couldn't get rid of this guy who hurt me. And no matter how hard I tried, I'd go to worship services and I'd worship and I'd praise. But I couldn't get rid of this guy. And I even got Kathy to pray with me, and I couldn't get rid of this guy. And all my joy, it fell out of my life. And I began to be a joyless Christian. I mean, I couldn't find my joy anymore. How many of you have ever lost your joy? It's a tough thing, man. And I tried and I tried and I tried. I mean, I tried everything, man. And for 6 months, I couldn't go any farther. How many of you would like to just walk through life like this? Doesn't this seem like a great idea? Carson, you want to have me a race? Do you want to race me to there and back? I don't think that I would win, right? Because when I try to run, right, you know, I'm going to run. I'm going to have a race. It's hard to carry someone with you. And when you look at this picture and you see this, can you see yourself? Is this your dad? Is this your teacher? Is this your spouse? Is this somebody who hurts you and you can't get rid of them? You've tried, but it just doesn't seem. Or maybe you haven't tried. Maybe you think they don't deserve to be forgiven. They're idiots. They're jerks. They don't deserve it. Well, I remember I called up a friend of mine. He's a pastor. And I said, here's what happened. I told him the story. And he said, here's what I think you need to do. You need to go to that man. You need to tell him the last time we spoke, I left that conversation feeling hurt. See what he says. So after 6 months, I went to this man. And I said, would you talk with me? And he said, yeah. I said, the last time I spoke with you, 6 months ago, I left the conversation feeling hurt. And he said, Lloyd, sometimes I speak before I think. Maybe that was one of those times. Would you forgive me? And I said, absolutely. And in a moment, I felt the chain come off, and my joy began to come back. 6 months without joy because of that. Now, I wish that was the first and last time that ever happened to me. But I remember another time. I was supposed to do something for somebody, and I had a contract with them to do it. And about 2 months before I was supposed to do that thing, they canceled my contract and said, we don't have any money to do what you're supposed to do. So I thought, okay, well, that can happen. Then about 2 weeks before I was supposed to do that thing with them, I noticed that they had contracted someone else to do something for them for twice as much money as I would have. And when I noticed that, I recognized that they had lied to me. And so me being such a godly man, wrote a letter. And I said, I notice that you're having this happen at your place, and you told me you couldn't afford it, so don't tell me you're sorry. Just send me the money, and I will forget this ever happened. And I sent that to one of my friends rather than them, because I'm not stupid, but I was angry. And he looked at this letter, and he said, that letter is not actually wrong for you to write. He said, you could justifiably send this to them because they did you wrong. But he said, I have a better idea for you. He said, why don't you send this organization $100 to help them pay for that other individual who just came to do that thing for them? Now, this was before marijuana was legal in Canada, because he had to be smoking something, right? Like, that doesn't make good business sense to me, right? But when I prayed about it, the Holy Spirit agreed with him. So I got my checkbook out, and I wrote this check, and I signed my name, and I put it in my envelope that had my information on it, and I got ready to put it in the mail because I was going to take the high road, and they were going to know that I was bigger than that. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, no. You're going to put $100 cash in an envelope. You're not going to sign the letter. You're just going to say, hey, just wanted to help you guys with this event. And you're going to send it to them with no return address, nothing. I just want to bless you. I said, God, that takes all the fun out of it. But you know, the moment that money went in the mail, this thing that was holding me back, I hope I can find the right key for this, I'll be this chain came off my leg, and I could dance, I could shout, I could praise God. Have you ever had a real yuck feeling whenever you thought of a person? I mean, a person, whenever you think of that person, you just think, yuck. Like, maybe they did you really bad in business. Maybe they did you really bad in relationship. I want to say the process might be to talk to someone about it. But next slide. The process may be, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is a tough thing to do, people. I've had different people hurt me in life. And when the yuck begins to come into my spirit, I will ask God, what do I need to do? And you know what? Many times the Lord tells me, bless them. I don't feel like blessing them. I feel like throwing rocks at them, Lord. And he's like, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. I remember someone once was hurting my wife. And she had done nothing wrong. And then the yuck began to get inside her. And she said, Lord, what do I need to do? And the Lord said, give that person a gift. And she's like, really? But when you gave the gift, the yuck went with it, didn't it? So, people, God is way smarter than us. And when he says to do something, do it. Not because you necessarily feel like it, but because God honors obedience. And when you do stuff that doesn't make sense, you know, when the devil sees you, right, and someone does you wrong, and you start getting all upset, and you start fuming and fretting and calling your friends and calling down this and that and sending letters and all this stuff, the devil's going, yeah, come on, man, do that some more, do it some more. But when he sees you getting on your knees and asking God what to do, and then you go and you send them a gift card, the devil's going, what in the world are you doing? Right? He wants us to be divisive and hateful and full of bitterness and dragging around a ball through our life. He doesn't want you to be able to be running and free and filled with joy. He wants you to be full of bitterness, full of hatred, full of envy, full of unforgiveness, walking through life bitter. And you know what that does to you? It makes you sick. It makes you literally sick. If some of you are wanting to study this a little bit more, there's a lady who's a brain scientist. Her name is Caroline Leaf. You can write that down. And she's found out when people continue to hold unforgiveness in their hearts and minds, there's actually things like thorns that develop on their brain. And the chemicals that are produced in your body actually literally make you ill and can cause you incredible sicknesses like autoimmune diseases. Now you're going, oh, you're out of your mind. No, I'm not. Go look it up. She's way smarter than me. But this is, they're beginning to understand that bitterness causes sickness. And some of you who have been sick and sick and sick, I'm not saying, oh, you're full of bitterness, but just ask yourself, what is going on? Do I hold bitterness in my life? Not everyone who's sick has that, but some people do. Next slide. At the end of the meeting tonight, I'm going to give you all an opportunity to come to the front and just spend some time at the front here and process your own life. I'm going to let you grab a piece of paper, and in the middle of the paper, I'm going to get you to draw a line and then make a cross. And then write down on the left side of the line all the things you've done wrong to other people. And then on the right side, write down things that people have done wrong to you. And then when you're honest, if you start looking over the left side, I think you're going to see that there's a lot more on the left side than the right side, if you really think about it. Now, maybe people have done you a lot of wrong, but that's what you're going to have an opportunity to do at the end of the meeting. So I'm going to try not to go too long tonight. All right, so that's going to be a little exercise we can do at the end. Can you go to the next slide? Now, what happens when you go through the process? Nelson Mandela, he became the president of South Africa. Before he was the president, he was part of the African National Congress. There was a political system in South Africa called apartheid. It was very wicked. There were some black people who were terribly abused, and they got pretty fed up with it, and so they did some things that were not good either, actually terrorist things, and Nelson Mandela ended up in prison. But through a change in the political system, he was eventually released from prison, and just before he was released, here's what he said: as I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead me to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. He recognized that though you could be physically out of prison, you could still be in prison in your mind and in your heart. And there are people in this room tonight that are physically free. You're not in jail, but you are bound. And there are people who are in prison tonight, physically, who are actually free. All right? Now, I just want to pause and give you one point here, and then I'm going to continue. When I was 9, I was abused horribly one time. Now, when I forgave that person who did that to me, I didn't say, it's okay. Let's say for a moment, I got into an argument with Pastor Doug, okay? And for some reason, he really, really got me mad. And in a moment of anger, I slapped him right across the face, and I just was so angry. And then I recognized, oh my goodness, I can't slap him across the face. And I said to him, oh, Doug, would you please forgive me? Now, there's two things he could say, but one of them would be absolutely wrong for him to say. He shouldn't say to me, oh, that's okay, Lloyd, because it's not okay. He could say, I forgive you. That's what he could say, and he should say, but he certainly shouldn't say, oh, that's okay, because it's not okay for me to abuse him. And some of you are going, yeah, what about the person who was abused sexually, whatever, in this different way? What about them? Can they forgive? They can forgive, but they don't have to say, oh, that's okay, because it's not okay. You may need to pursue justice toward that person, right? Because if I'm abusing people, you may need to try to stop me from abusing people, and that would be the most kind thing you could actually do for me. Now, the next time Doug sees me, right, and I say, hey, Doug, how you doing? He might go, hey, I'm good. And if I get close to him, he just steps back a little bit because he recognizes that every time this man, Lloyd, gets close to me, I get slapped across the face, and I don't really enjoy that very much. How many of you enjoy getting smacked across the face? Not me. Right? And so are you saying, well, Pastor Doug, you're being unloving and unkind? No, he's using his wisdom that God gave him and drawing a boundary that says, hey, if Lloyd gets too close to you, man, you just got to back up because he's going to harm you because he doesn't know how to control his anger, right? Now, that may be a relationship you're in. You may be in a relationship with somebody, maybe married to someone. And if they beat the crap out of, I'm sorry, I shouldn't use that word, they beat you very badly, right? You may need to back away from that relationship until that person gets well enough to not harm you anymore, right? That's some people say, oh, you just got to stay there and take it. No, I don't think that that's what God, oh, you got to turn the other cheek. I don't think that that's what God is talking about. God does not want us to take abuse. He wants us to use wisdom and draw boundaries. And so when someone's harming you and hurting you, you may need to step away. Does that make sense? And don't say it's okay. But that way you can forgive, but it's not okay. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Just nod your head if you're with me. All right. The product of forgiveness. I'm going to give you one last story and then I'm going to be done. I went to this one church years ago in the United States. I greeted the pastor, and then I greeted his wife, and she said to me, Lloyd, it's great to see you. My husband is addicted to pornography. If you don't have him fixed by the time you leave here, I'm going to divorce him. And I'm just like, well, God bless you. Good to see you too. You know, and I mean, that was a little bit difficult for me. But you know what I love, Wanda, about being an evangelist? I can go out to my bus. I have a little suitcase in there. And I have miracles in there. I just go grab one and just give it to them. It's like, are you kidding me? Right? I don't have that kind of power. I mean, I don't know what to do with this. And so I went to my wife and I said, what do we do here? Like, we are in a bad place. And my wife said, we should pray. Good idea. If you don't know what to do, people? Pray. And so we prayed. And the Lord told us, have a prayer meeting with this couple. This lady, she was ready to kill her husband. I mean, she was so angry with him. And I didn't know what to do. So we began to pray. And as we began to pray, the pastor says, God told me I have to forgive my grandfather. I said, well, great, forgive him. He goes, I can't. He's dead. I said, you can forgive a dead person. He said, I don't want to forgive him. I'm glad he's dead. I said, that's a problem. He said, why? I said, why are you glad he's dead? He said, because he abused me when I was a kid, sexually. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what do you do with that? From the time he's 3 years old till the time he's older, he's abused by this man. And so we're like, what do we do? He didn't want to forgive him. He didn't. And I understood that. The Bible says, you know, if you got an issue with someone, you need to pray for them. Well, I think I would know how to pray for him. God, strike him dead, right? Give him hemorrhoids in his ear. I don't know if you can even get him there, but I mean, I just want him to be hurt. I want him to hurt because he hurt my friend. So my wife said, why don't you pray that God would make you willing to forgive? And so he said, I've never tried that. So he did. 5 minutes later, he goes, I don't know what's going on, he says, but I feel like I'm willing to forgive. So we led him in a prayer of forgiveness. And as he began to pray forgiveness and pray, I tell you, man, he began to weep and cry and cry and cry and was letting go of this pain and giving it to God the Father. And his wife, she melted into his arms. And that man and his wife are still together today. It was a process, but the product was restoration. And I believe that we need to pray for those who hurt us and despitefully use us. Now, your first prayer might be, God, deal with them. I don't think that that's wrong. But then eventually it might be, God, forgive them. Maybe God even bless them. I believe that when you begin to pray for those people who hurt you, that God changes you. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to change. They may still always be an idiot, and you can't help that. But God can change your attitude towards them so you're not dragging them through life with you anymore. Does that make sense? I've got many, many stories like that, but I'm not going to share them with you. I want to share one video clip with you, and then Actually, I'm not even going to share the clip. I want to just go to the questions. Have you been forgiven by God? I want you to just bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. I just want you to just be alone with God for a minute. I want to ask you this question. Have you been forgiven by God? That's the question I want to ask you. Have you been forgiven by God? How many would say, I'm not sure I've been forgiven by God. Have you been forgiven by God? That's a question I'd like to ask you. How many people say, I need God to forgive me? Just put up your hands in this room. I need God to forgive me. There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five. Anyone else? I need God to forgive me. Okay, there's more. That's good. Here's another question. Do you have someone you need to forgive? How many people would say, I've got someone I need to forgive? Put your hand up. Okay. I want to ask you this. Do you maybe need to forgive yourself or maybe forgive God? Sometimes God does stuff and it doesn't really seem to make any sense and you can get upset with him. How many of you say, I need to forgive somebody, maybe even God? Just put your hands up. All right. Last thing. I want to ask you, do you need someone to forgive you? How many people in this room would say, I need someone to forgive me? I've done some stuff. Man, that's been pretty mean, pretty harsh. Okay, that's good. I'm going to invite you all to stand up. Can you all stand? It's 20 after 7. I'm going to invite any one of you who wants to And I want to encourage all of you to come and spend a little bit of time down here at the front of the church. You know, we used to call this the altar. It's a place where change takes place. We lay down stuff and we leave it with God. I want to encourage you, some of you, you may need to lay something down here tonight. It may be some hurt that happened. I know that I have hurt my kids many, many times. My intention was never to do that. I never woke up one morning and said, you know, I'd really like to screw my kids up. I don't think any father or mother does that. But sometimes, though you say one thing, they understand something else and they get hurt and there's misunderstanding. And sometimes you do hurt them. And that wasn't my intention. But I've had to ask for forgiveness for my kids. My dad deeply hurt me sometimes, totally unintentionally. But boy, did I carry that inside me for some years. And I've hurt others. So I want to invite you, everyone who would and can, to come on and make yourself a place at the front here. Nobody's going to bother you. But I want you to spend some time and say, God, do I need to forgive somebody? God, do I need to be forgiven by somebody? Or do I need to deal with the forgiveness issue in my life? I want to invite you to come. My wife's going to sing some songs, and I just want to invite, why don't you all come? Everyone who raised your hand for any reason, just come on down. Grab a piece of paper. There's tons of pens here. And you're just going to have a chance to just write down some stuff. And then I'm going to encourage you this week and this next couple weeks to begin to work your way through this. And if you got, you know, you say, you know what, Pastor Doug, I've been carrying someone around. Can I talk with you? Maybe you might want to talk to Pastor Wanda. You may want to talk to somebody else, but they may be able to help you because in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. They may have an idea that you've never thought of. This guy that I talked to, Jamie Shepherd, a friend of mine, he had a great idea. Go to that man. Talk to him, and once I did, it changed everything. That was some counsel. But God can help you with that. So why don't you come? Kathy's going to sing, and I'm going to say, if you need to go, God bless you. Thanks for coming. You are dismissed if you need to go. I want to encourage you for 5 or 10 minutes, or if longer, if you like, just spend some time. If you want to do it right in your seat, that's fine, but I encourage you, when you go to the front, you're getting away from where you're familiar, where you're comfortable. And you're going to go and you're going to say, God, I want to just deal with some stuff here. All right? So God bless you. You're dismissed if you need to go. Pastor Doug, anything you want to say? Are you good? Everything's good. God bless you. You're dismissed if you want to go. Come to the altar and spend some time.